History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Risa Albarracin, who is a part of the Shepherd's Arm Foundation, and they run a children's home in the Philippines. She's based here in Australia. How are you doing, Risa? Great to hear from you.
Hello, Pastor Matt. Thank you for having me. I'm great, actually. It's a good day today.
It's a good day today. Wonderful to hear from you. Now, we'd love to hear a bit of your story. Tell us, where were you born and raised?
So first, I would like to start to say by saying that God allows us sometimes, or even all the time, to go through difficult circumstances so that not only he can display his power in us, but also for us to have incredible testimonies, lived experience that will equip us in our future calling, our God-given purpose, and our ministry. And this is what my story is. So growing up in a remote jungle in the Philippines, in the village of the Philippines, in an island called Cebu, I had an incredibly tough time growing up as a child. You can't imagine it, but daily survival was a struggle. So actually, my parents were about 50 years old when they had me, so I had to grow up quick because they neither had the energy nor the resources to look after me, so I'm the sixth of the in the family.
Wow.
My parents, just like everyone else in the village, they were uneducated, so poverty has actually robbed them of the chance to get an education. So also growing up, we didn't have basic infrastructure like electricity, roads, indoor toilets, medical clinics, shops, or even a school. We're really like those people living in the jungle in movies. Sometimes it's quite weird watching one of those things for me because it's very close to home. Anyway, as a young child, for some reason, I realized that we were really poor because sometimes, you know, that's your natural environment. You didn't realize what you were missing. But anyway, I realized that it wasn't a good place to be. And so when I was 4 or 5, I vowed to get an education because someone had told me that it is the only way to get out and have a better life. So at the age of 6, I forced my parents to let me go to school because the moment you walk in that village, you go and help them farm. So you start working and there is no argument about it. You do it. And so there was a school. There still is. It's still there. A school several kilometers away over the other mountain. Not really what you call walking distance. So every day from 6 years old, I started walking over the hills, valleys, across two rivers. I'm not exaggerating. This is true. Just to learn. And I study very religiously at night using a kerosene lamp. And I work hard doing various jobs during the day so I can buy pencils and paper. So that's the picture of me growing up. And our school was really under-resourced. So I basically learned English by collecting old newspapers, used to wrap dried fish sold in our Sunday flea market in the jungle. And I started reading those words, didn't know what they meant until I got hold of dictionary when I was maybe 10, 11. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I always believed that there is a God. And I prayed. My prayers were like as innocent as a child's prayer is. My parents were nominal Catholics, but they also dabbled in paganistic practice. And I knew it was wrong. But I think God has just had his hand on me at that time. And then I left home when I was 12 to get a better education and work as a maid in town for a well-to-do family for my board and lodging. And God has been so good. He gave me a scholarship at a local private school. And so I supported myself since then as a maid servant for that family. And I used to wake up at 3:30 in the morning so to start my chores for that household and then walk to school at 6 a.m. And I do it all over again. It was a tough thing maintaining your scholarship and trying to survive, but life was filled with adventures and I was just very determined to change the course of my life. And I knew that God was with me, and I never gave up. And that allowed me, that determination allowed me to go places and get university education in New Zealand and doctoral degree in Canberra in Australia. So when I was in my early 30s, just before I moved to New Zealand, I got saved. I became born again. And that was a very interesting time in my life. My testimony is slightly different because in the world standards, I was a very good kid. I didn't dabble into drinking and smoking and all those, what teenage kids do, because I was very focused on surviving and pursuing a better life for me and my family. And so my conversion story is just like, God just sent me various people in different stages of my life who were born-again Christians and saw the potential in me. And so they would share the gospel. My first job, he was a Christian man. The second job was a Christian woman. And then I didn't really commit my life seriously then. But then one day I struggled with how am I going to survive? What's the future going to be like? And it was very hot and humid. And then I was walking along the road on a busy street in the city that I was on. And this big door opened, glass door opened, and a cold air was blowing out. And I thought, oh, I want to take shelter in there. They have aircon. And I went in, and it was a Christian church that was an Assemblies of God's church. And I listened into the sermon. And 1 month later, I got baptized.
Wow.
And then I realized then that God has been with me all along up to that point. I realized that he empowered me to go through those hardships, and this became my mission. And then I decided, and I was so determined, to serve him and do whatever I can to help disadvantaged children like me and struggling communities like our communities, to support them to get educated and know the word of God and live a godly life. Because for me, that's how I got through and how God used me.
Wow.
for ministry. And so my aim has been that I can rescue as many kids as I can from life on the streets, away from prostitution, drug abuse, and give them a hope and a future.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, and Risa, it's an incredible story. Growing up in the jungles in Cebu and, you know, in extreme poverty, really. And, you know, God opening up the door for you to study in New Zealand, in Australia. You're now working in Queensland Health. Tell us about your role that you have now.
I have had two roles within Queensland Health. The first one, I worked as a toxicologist, so basically dealing with drugs and poison. But recently I moved into a different role to help Queensland Health or the health system improve their performance of our hospitals, looking at our risks and how we can prioritize those and help with how we can improve with our efficiency. But I still do a little bit of toxicology on the side. But really, I see it as a place of being one of those Christians in a workplace mission field. That's how I see it, more than what I do.
Well, it's amazing. I know you have a lot of influence there, and you've got a big job ahead of you there as well with all that work you're doing. Yes. So you're also running this incredible children's home in Bohol in the Philippines. I had the privilege of visiting there many years ago, and our church has sponsored kids there and sent missions teams and medical teams over there. Tell us all about the Shepherd's Arm Children's Home in the Philippines.
Yeah, that's right. So way back over 10 years ago, I stepped in to be the managing trustee of the Shepherd's Arms Children's Home. Initially, my husband and I started supporting it, but a few years later, I found myself leading it, which is an incredible opportunity to serve God. And I wouldn't question what my purpose is because I was just slotted there without me wanting to be there. Because what do I know about children? Because we don't have children, but that's how God is. Like he just gives you these opportunities beyond your imagination. But anyway, so our children's home, it is located in the island of Bohol in the Philippines, in Panglao. And we are about rebuilding lives of disadvantaged, impoverished, orphaned, abandoned children in the islands of Bohol and Cebu. We provide shelter, education, and basic needs. And our true motivation is James 1:27 that says, religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And this is the only place in the Bible, really, that the word religion is mentioned. And we know that children has a very special place in God's heart. And in our country, the Philippines, it has more than 1.2 million orphans. And whilst we cannot help all of them, we can change the world one child at a time. And I know this is a cliche, but this is what we have been doing over the years. So we have a children's shelter. The kids live with us, and we have dedicated staff to help care for these children and supporters that help us continue with this work. So far, we have children now that were with us that already graduated university. And I can also say that majority of them walking with the Lord, which is much more of a indicator that we are doing the right thing for them. And God has been so good. But we also, in addition to the children's home, we also have other ministries that include a medical clinic, because a lot of the people in our communities there don't have access to basic healthcare services.
Mm-hmm.
We also help with certain communities to have livelihood projects, because unemployment in the Philippines is so high. And of course, you know what will happen if people don't have jobs and don't have a way to earn income. So we do this as part of our community outreach. We also have evangelical outreaches, and we help out scholarships and sustainable initiatives in our communities as well, where we provide support for farming and livelihood projects, such as having a small business. And finally, we do have feeding programs as well. Those are the ministries within our foundation. We're about helping the kids, but also going out into community and sharing the love of Christ in a more practical way.
Well, I have such good memories of my visit all those years ago. And I remember I also went over to Cebu and met your family. You lined me up to go and meet them, and you said, you've got to go and share the gospel with them. So I went to their house, and there was about 10 of them there in this small little place. And then I shared my testimony. And I shared the gospel. I said, "Is anyone going to give their heart to Jesus?" And they all put their hands up. I prayed the sinner's prayer with them all. And I was just like, wow, this is my friend Reese's family. Amazing, you know. So I just have such great memories of seeing people come to Christ. And I know that you do these regular medical missions all around, seeing many come to Christ as well. Not only are you helping them with their medical needs, but you're sharing the gospel and you're seeing people come to Christ. It's wonderful to see the incredible ministry that you guys have there. Now, if people want to find out more, the website is shepherdsarmfoundation.com, and people can find out about the projects, and people want to make donations or support or sponsor a kid, they can find all the info there. You're also on social media as well. Can people search you up there too?
Yeah, I also provide regular updates on my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
That's Reza Albarasin.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have Shepherd's Arms Children's Home, so people can visit there. But also, I bring teams a couple of times or three times a year to
Great.
Do certain projects. So if anyone would be interested to be part of any of those trips, feel free to contact me, and also through Pastor Matt, because, you know.
Contact me. We'll line it up. Absolutely. Just love your heart for missions, your heart for these beautiful kids. And every now and then you'll send me a video of the kids saying, "Thank you, Pastor Matt," or, you know, happy Christmas, or what, you know. And I just love these beautiful kids in the Philippines. And it's been such a blessing to hear your testimony of what God's done in your life. Reese, I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Matt. God bless you.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.
Looking for fashion that feels like you? Kindred Boutique is where style meets heart. From effortlessly chic outfits to those little details that make all the difference, Kindred Boutique curates pieces you'll love wearing again and again. Thoughtfully chosen, beautifully made, perfect for every day and special moments. Because at Kindred Boutique, it's not just about clothes, it's about connection. Discover your new favourites at Kindred Boutique. Shop online now at kindredboutique.com.au. Find your style. Find your people.